All right, let's go to Luke 18. We're going to start Luke 18. Verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, this is an interesting, because it talks about this many times in the Bible, about praying without ceasing. And I used to think that was impossible, because there was no time left for thinking then. But now I see that this is what has to happen, that prayers have to be without ceasing. Now, let's go to Matthew 5. Always is the word that it's pontoliat, which it means at all times, ever, evermore. So we've got to address that, praying without ceasing. Matthew 5, just one verse. Verse 43, two verses. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So that's the idea. You could probably spend a whole lot of time just praying for your enemies. So now let's go to chapter 6 of Matthew, and start in verse. Well, let's just read the whole thing. Start in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner pray, therefore pray you. And then it's the Lord's Prayer. Well, let's just look at the Lord's Prayer for a minute. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right there you have to stop. Because to hallow his name means you see the same thing that he does. And therefore, if there's anything for which you don't see the finishedness, then you can't continue in the prayer. You have to stop there.
Does hallow like revere?
Huh?
Does hallow mean like revere?
Well, it means...
I don't really know the effect of hallow.
Hallowed means a lot of things. But to hallow his name means to honor it. And you honor his name by seeing the same thing as he does. That's what confessing the Lord Jesus means. So you hallow his name by seeing as he sees. If you don't see as he sees, then you have to stop. And what do you do when you stop? You see where you're being deceived by the evil one. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, there's no reason to pray if you're not in agreement with God. It's like that's the whole reason you're there to pray, to stop.
One thing comes to me, it's like perfect are thy ways.
Hmm?
Perfect are thy ways, hallowed and perfect. Or
yeah, makes sense.
And a name is not, hey Joe, it's how you are.
Right, but I mean, but it has to be. It's not just you hallow him by saying what he is. You have it's hallowing by you see what he you agree you're in the same position.
You're submitting and yielding to him.
Well, but listen, is there anything in your life that you think is wrong? Is there anything in anybody? If there's anything in the world that you think is wrong? If there's anything that it's you go on in layers, if there's anything in which you're not in agreement that you see him as all and in all, then in my mind you have to stop there because you're not hallowing his name.
Yeah, you basically have to agree that he's God and he's in control.
And he's in control of everything, and everything is exactly as it should be. Well, it's everybody's challenge.
Everything's the way it is.
But to hallow his name is critical here.
It should be.
Do you hallow his name? You don't hallow his name if you don't see the same thing that he sees.
It's interesting. This is right on the tail of prayer.
Right. That's why he's teaching us to pray.
Yep. And the concept of prayer.
Well, that's why we have to get rid of that, because we just found out that in Luke 1 that you pray without ceasing, you pray always. So it's not that you're getting ready to pray, you pray always.
So praying isn't a situational thing, it's a way of life.
It's how you shut up your mind. But here in this the issue in which he's teaching us to pray, then we hallowed be thy name, you have to address that. So thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, you're acknowledging that you're seeing his majesty and his perfection, the perfection of his holiness. That means you see everything is finished. You see the mystery of God in everything and every place. There's no place where it isn't. Now this is going to challenge the crap out of you, because if you use your mind, there's always something going to be wrong. Well, and let's continue on, because this is just the first part. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what you've got to understand. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. So, can you see that? Can you see the perfection of his holiness in you? Can you see the perfection of his holiness wherever you look?
Wherever you look.
Wherever you look. I think it sounds like I'm talking to the ceiling. In earth as it is, give us this day our daily bread. Well, the daily bread is sounds like give us some, you know, our food, but that's not what it is. It's our daily bread is give us the, it's the show bread, the bread of the face. So you're asking for to see that you only get your gain your sustenance from seeing him. When I went to, I told you this before, but when I went to the family reunion a few years ago in Minnesota, I stayed with my cousin who's an attorney, and he's exactly the same age as I am. And they sit and every meal, if they have just the three of us, whether it's he and his wife and I, then he still held hands. And then when all his kids were there, everybody held hands. And his prayer was, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Amen. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's childish. Anyway, give us this day our daily bread, the bread of the face. Forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So there's the wine. There's the first we have the eating of his flesh. That will be done in earth. Our daily bread. And then because forgiveness, always when it talks about forgiveness, it's talking about the wine. So, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. If there's somebody or something or some situation that you haven't forgiven, then God can't forgive you. If there's some part of your life that you think should be different than it is, then God, then you're not, he can't forgive you. Because you haven't forgiven everything. This is the prayer that God himself taught us to pray. And what do we do with it? We make it vain repetition. And lead us not into temptation. John found out that the word lead there is only used twice in the Bible. And it means lead inward. Let nothing be cause you to go into your mind. Lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. Your mind, that's the evil one. Now, if you can, this prayer, this, the Lord's Prayer can change your whole viewpoint of everything if you can hear it. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us and no, let nothing lead me inward. But to the contrary, deliver us from evil. And if every translation, if it has a little markings by it, it's from the evil one. That's not Satan. That's you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That prayer with prayed with understanding is how you pray without ceasing, because you can't help but pray when you see this, I mean, this will blow your mind. Blow it out of the water. All right.
This is basically reflects what God's perfect will is, and then we're agreeing with it. At the same time, we're asking for it. So it's like there's, in that moment, we want that to be true, and we know it's true, and we couldn't be praying for it without knowing it.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's sort of a double thing.
And then it goes on. There's two more parts to it. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. That'll get to the short hairs. If there's anything that you haven't forgiven, God can't. And again, elsewhere it expands it. It says, forgiven from the heart. That means you have to protect in your being the very right for that offense to have happened to you. And this has to go back to your whole life. No regrets. And when you can see no regrets, then you've neglected the past. There's no, you don't give any breath anymore to that which is past, and you give no breath to that which is future. Because you live in the eternal now. And that's what praying is about. That's why you pray without ceasing. Let nothing bring you back into time and space. What? Again, the purpose of time and space is to cause your mind to be the same as the mind of Christ. Let this mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything is about the renewing of your mind. That's the singular most important thing that's going on. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind that you may prove in you what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Jesus Christ or the mind of Christ. So it's...
I was thinking, backing up a little bit about the forgiveness part. Was the Charleston, South Carolina people, you know, just got their friends and relatives shot up and killed, you know, the first thing to do was forgive. And that nobody liked that.
Yeah.
There was an outcry, and people don't like that because that means they have to forgive. You know, it did something. And I thought that was pretty remarkable
to see happen. It reveals our hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going like, wait a minute. Forgiveness. No, we need to have justice.
All right, let's go to Matthew 26. See some more about praying.
Matthew 26.
Right. We just finished the Haggadah portion of the Passover. And then in verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Now, you remember, they were asleep because they had just finished drinking four 10-ounce cups.
And it was late at night.
Right, it's probably around 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So here we have that situation we've talked about many times, one of three, where as Son of Man, he was honest enough to say these things were troubling him. But as Son of God, he repented. And that's the mind of Christ.
Yeah. I never realized it took three times.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You know, it's like
he prayed that same
thing. He said,
I
will
be
done the first time.
Three times.
Had to go do it again.
Yeah, so it's his unbelievable torture and death, and then going down into the depths that we can't even imagine for 3 days.
Yeah.
But here again, this praying without ceasing, that just seems like something you read and just ignore. Or in this case, in Luke, pray always. And not faint. Let's go back to Luke. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to be always to pray and not to faint.
Where do you read?
Back to Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. We've talked about fainting many times. It means to quit in your mind. But here it means to quit praying and return to the beggarly elements of the world with your mind. Now back, let's go back to Matthew one time. I forgot to talk about something. Matthew 5 or 6. Verse 6.
5 verse 6?
It's just 6 verse 6.
6 verse 6.
But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, we've talked about this. There are a lot of people, including my relatives, who have taken, they've used one of the closets in their house, and they set up a little altar in there, and then they go in and close the door and pray in there. But that's not what this is about. Your closet is back in, it's internal. It's into the Holy of Holies. It's the innermost place within you. And that innermost place, because the New Jerusalem came down, and now that innermost place is on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. That's your closet. You enter into that closet. That inner room is better translated. And in that inner room, explain it, but the best way that I can know to explain it is when you are really in that inner room, there's a loss of self-consciousness. And prayer becomes, it becomes something that you would never have prayed. There's no way in my mind I would ever pray, Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. That would be the most ludicrous thing that I could ever pray. But that's what I pray.
But if I prayed that, it would be okay.
Hmm?
If I prayed that, it would be okay. If I prayed that you'd be delivered from pain.
Well, they're both okay. Oh, you, if you mean, if you prayed that I would be delivered. Yeah, that's fine. But the point is, can you, whatever it is, and then pain is the same with me, but whatever it is, can you say, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from that, whatever that issue is?
What is the difference between Gary wanting you to be delivered from pain, maybe having something different than it is in your life versus you?
Well, it's the difference of being in Christ or in you.
But you wanting that is self-seeking, and what he's wanting for you is
yeah,
prayer.
That's why I'm saying, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain is not self-seeking. That's
probably tied to confession. Confess faults, confess pain, confess who you are, and then others pray for you. But I have a hard time. I can't pray for myself.
All right, let's go to not faint. So faint is this, it sounds like it's a cocktail. It's like the kids, what do you call here? You call, I remember when I was a kid, for some reason, you called number two caca. I must have, I don't know where that even came from. It maybe some Norwegian thing.
That's Spanish. Caca is Spanish for shit.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I used to.
It's a Norwegian Spanish kind of a.
I don't know where it came from. I didn't say it was Norwegian.
It's universal.
But it was what. That's what we kids, little kids, you say caca and then giggle. But you never said caca in front of your mother, because she already knew what that meant.
Why are we talking about caca, by the way?
Because it sounds like this feigning. A caca, a cacao, a A-K-A-K-A-K-E-O. This is how it's phonetically. It means to quit in your mind. To give over to your mind is really what it says. To faint means you're utterly spiritless.
Kind of could be like to agree with your mind, which would be turning away from praying, which is you just
right, that's what
wear out.
Well, it's to lose heart with the whole idea of what we've been talking about.
Amen.
It's to forget that or to just give out. Just
give yourself all back to your mind.
Yeah.
Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 4. Well, we'll just start there, but we're almost out of time because Pete was late.
Put that in the notes. Pete was late.
I'm putting that Pete late, you know, marks off of the
4. We're talking about looking at faint. Well, whenever we study 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, we have to look back up at 3. So, in starting verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away. And the reading of the scriptures was what it says, which veil is done away in Christ. But even so, unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Faint not. Now that faint not could mean many things. It means that you don't, it means you're the same person no matter where you are. There's never a situation where you're not the same person. Does that communicate it a little bit? You're not different when you're with your parents or with your family either, or with that, or than you are in a Bible study. Okay.
I was thinking for Paul there, fainting not might have meant not washing his hands with the whole Corinthians.
Yeah. All right, and then let's go to verse 16 of the same chapter. Again, we have to go up a little bit. Start in verse 13, or 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen, eternal. So in another way of looking at this, you never cease to look at eternity. You never are seduced to being brought back into time and space by your mind.
Yeah, that's how he keeps from fainting, is
right.
Seeing through things instead of looking at them and getting discouraged or running out of steam.
And so this whole thing about praying and fainting not we're going to study it much more, but it has a whole range of things that we're probably going to have to repent from, because remember Harry, he said he'd walk out the door and he'd forget what was said. Well, the only way to deal with that is repentance. Now, repentance from what? Repentance from the world. Because if you walk out and see the world, or your mind starts seeing the world thing, then you automatically faint. Does that communicate?
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking of the time factor too. To think it's eternal is what you have to look at, because otherwise you start going, you know, it's been years since this. I thought this was going to happen right off the bat. You know, so you take into account how time is there, and the more you think about it, the more faintly you become.
Yeah, it becomes. It's even in the way we're made. The idea we can only, our only perception of time is by how long we have lived or how long we've experienced time. Really, from how long, not how long you've lived, because it's the experience time only really when the terrible twos come in. So, but what happened, what I'm saying is that you're, for me now, 2 years, 5 years is whack, that's a snap. I remember as a kid, man, 3 months was forever. Even a week was way too long to wait. Because our, and this is true with all of us, our perception of time is based on our experiences with time. So if you only have a few months experience with time, then time is slow. But when you have 77 years, time is fast. It's getting faster. But that's a blessing. Because it doesn't mean anything. All right, I gotta quit. Can anybody take me to?
I have one more thing I gotta say.
All right.
We were talking about debt, and then we talk about walking out the door and forgetting. Like, the whole world's trying to put us into debt. It's like that's its purpose.
Into what?
The purpose of debt. The world is putting us into debt.
Debt?
Debt.
Like I-O or debt, D-E-A-T-H?
D-E-B-T.
Okay. Debt. See that, but that's, it could be. All right, take a big guy. But back again, can somebody take me to the doctor?